Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word GRACECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's a beautiful Monday here in New England, and we're going to get right to it. There's plenty of news today. I talk a lot on this show about the left's search for a hero. You know, they need a hero by the end of the night, and they're always looking. You know, it's like that desperate friend who's always trying to find somebody and finds the worst guys. And it's interesting because that became very, very apparent over the weekend. There was a couple of funny moments of exposure of some frauds who the liberals have lifted up as their latest saint and then, you know, quickly crashed and burned. Now, the one I want to start with is Patrice Cullors. She's the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. You probably remember her because she was in the news a lot when stories about all of her houses, her multiple houses, came out, million-dollar homes. One of them was in Topanga Canyon, a very prominently white area in California, very fancy. And that wasn't her only million-dollar home. So this co-founder of Black Lives Matter is having another issue, this time with the IRS. And I always asked people, I said, who's the biggest grifter? Is it Black Lives Matter or is it the Lincoln Project? And I'm really starting to feel, thanks to Patrice, that Black Lives Matter is inching ahead. Rick Wilson tried his best. He really did. But he might be beat on this one. It's like a crossover now. She's becoming more and more like these Lincoln Project characters. So a nonprofit tied to Patrice Cullors failed to disclose significant donations. How significant? I'll tell you. Dignity and Power Now, a group started by Patrice Khan Cullors, raked in hundreds of thousands in donations, but claimed otherwise to the IRS. Dignity and Power Now, a group started by former Black Lives Matter boss Khan Cullors in 2013, raked in hundreds of thousands in donations but claimed otherwise to the IRS. It received at least $225,000 in 2016, but told the IRS that the charity had not made more than $50,000 that year, according to public filings. Failing to meet that revenue threshold meant that the group didn't have to file a complete federal return, which would outline all of its spending and donations. Now, here's where they went wrong. The group that had donated $100,000 was Los Angeles-based Resnick Foundation, and they put it on their filings. And then, you know, the IRS started realizing it didn't really, something wasn't adding up. On Friday, the National Legal and Policy Center, a conservative watchdog group, filed complaints to both the IRS and the AG in California, demanding an audit of Dignity and Power Now finances. This is so classic conservatives, pouncing and seizing. I'm sure they probably want onerous FOIA requests at this point. It is just disgusting. It is, you know, we really, Republicans, you got to stop this. The pouncing, the seizing, the weaponizing. So what? They didn't pay their taxes. Patrice can probably get a nice gig on MSNBC. A lot of the people there don't pay their taxes. The obvious question now, this is the National Legal and Policy Center chairman, Peter Flaherty. He said the obvious question is what happened to the money? Given these circumstances, we believe that an audit is in order. Dignity and Power Now says they speak in the name of the disadvantaged. The IRS must ensure that no one is taking advantage. Hear, hear. I second that. Now, Patrice is just one example of this. All right. She's my first liberal hero who has fallen. I get multiple examples of this in one weekend. This is how many bad eggs the liberals choose to represent their policies and their mission and their causes. Next up, and this one we have sound for, is the senator from Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse. Now, he's having issues for a different reason, okay? Sheldon belongs to a private club called the Bailey's Beach Club in Newport. Sounds nice, right? Well, it's not. It's actually very racist.
Racism.
It's actually an all-white private club, which I truly did not think existed anymore in the United States. So I'm reading this story, and I'm going to play his response, but I want to break this down, because when I first saw it, and I mentioned it to Howie, I said, oh, you see this thing about Sheldon Whitehouse, the all-white club, and Howie said, well, yeah, everybody knows. And I said, well, now we have audio of him responding to it. But the story is actually more interesting than that. Let's play the audio of good old Sheldon, and then we'll break this down. Cut five, please, Jared.
Back in 2017, you had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that. I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age. You know, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. Thank you.
The car's here.
It's a long racist tradition, sir. Also, kudos to that reporter. She gets the Curly Profiles and Courage Award of the Day. Great questions. And you know why they're great? Because she didn't fumble with them. You know, she just ran through it. She asked him the questions. And that's a great sound cut. She's got to be a local reporter because there's no way that, you know, CNN or MSNBC would allow one of theirs to one of their reporters to ask a question like that. So I looked into this a little bit. He's not just a member, though. You know, it's not just that he's Sheldon's, just goes up there and hangs out. Both Whitehouse and his wife, Sandra, as well as their families, have been members of the club for decades. Again, you know, like he said, it's a long tradition. Whitehouse did transfer his shares in the club to his wife years ago. And now she is one of the largest shareholders in the all-white club. So, in other words, he's one of the largest shareholders because the only reason he transferred it was so it didn't look like he was. But that's it. So then when I hear this, I immediately think of Donald J. Trump, because Donald J. Trump in Palm Beach decided that he was going to open up membership to Mar-a-Lago to black people and to Jewish people. And that was a big deal because that was not happening in Palm Beach at the time Donald Trump decided to do that. So now here's something hilarious. Sometimes when I'm looking up this stuff, and I just want to double check, you know, I'm not looking to read big profiles on it. I'm just looking to double check the facts. Okay, so the club was Mar-a-Lago, the year was this and that. You guys know what I'm saying. But every once in a while, I run across some hilarious fake news stories and hilarious fact checks. So this is PolitiFact, okay? And this brings me to my last point before we get into the break, which is the Democrats not only have a knack for picking horrible, horrible heroes, but they also are incredible at picking the worst villains. They suck at picking villains. Every villain they pick, because their priorities are so skewed, it doesn't end up making any sense. And the perfect example is Donald Trump. He's a racist. But then you have photos of him with Rosa Parks getting awards and with Muhammad Ali. It never made any sense that this guy was racist. So I go to look at this PolitiFact and it says, it's asking about Mar-a-Lago and whether Trump allowed black people and Jewish people into the club. And it says, Trump did open Mar-a-Lago to blacks and Jews, but in a business move, not a crusade. After buying Mar-a-Lago, he used it as a residence for a decade and then tried to subdivide the property, but was denied. Trump then opened Mar-a-Lago as a private club and as a business move, and without having to go to court, allowed Jews and African Americans, making it different from most private clubs in Palm Beach. Do you know how amazing that is? The Sheldon Whitehouse. Sheldon Whitehouse owns the most shares. His wife, I'm sorry, excuse me. His wife owns the most shares to an all-white beach club in Rhode Island. And that's okay. He's going to tell you how important critical race theory is. He's going to tell you how important Black Lives Matter is. He's going to tell you what a racist you are. He's going to tell you how you need to vote for him and vote for AOC and vote for all these Democrats. And that's fine. You're supposed to take that and just accept it. But Donald Trump allows Black people and Jewish people into his club when no one in Florida, or at least in Palm Beach, was doing that at the time. And they can't even say true. They have to say true, but
with context.
It's a little more complicated than that. It was a business move. These people are gross. And wait till you see, speaking of going after the wrong villains, they pick the worst villains I've ever seen. They're obsessed with Ron DeSantis, and he continues to disappoint them by being such a success. And this past weekend, a sad event happened in Florida during a gay pride parade. And what they did to try to make this into evil Ron's fault was nothing short of insane. We're going to get to that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And he's got to be a conservative. You know, he's got to be someone who puts America first. He's got to be someone who wants to maybe lower taxes, or doesn't want to give billions of dollars to other countries, or doesn't want to spend all our money trying to eliminate cow farts. That's the kind of hero the left needs. And then they wonder why they're coming up short. Your ideas are terrible. So the people who are willing to promote your ideas end up not being great people. Seems kind of basic. And we're going to get into this more. But first, summer is here, and that means it's time to visit Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. I cannot wait to get down there. Visit GraceCurlyShow.com, click on store, and get a basic firearms LTC class for half off. I took one of those classes. They're actually really fun. You learn a lot. You get to do a little virtual shooting, which is cool. We don't have many left, so get them fast. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will you be shopping on Amazon for Prime Day today?
Today is Prime Day. I saw it on Fox Business this morning. That means you, I guess it just means you get huge discounts.
Yes.
I'm going to try my absolute best to not buy things today, because I haven't bought anything, not to brag, but I have not bought anything off Amazon Prime since the election. I just couldn't keep supporting Dr. Evil, Jeff Bezos any longer, or, you know, just these big tech overlords who hate my guts. So I stopped buying stuff from there. But it is hard, and I get it. I'm not a huge online shopper, so it wasn't as hard for me as it is for other people who really got into the rhythm of using Amazon Prime. But if I were ever going to be tempted, it would be today, because it's not just, Jared, that there's deals. There's articles on the New York Post in the shopping section. There's articles everywhere. There's ads, you know, Prime Day, Prime Day, Prime Day. So I am tempted. Like, I see, oh, okay, I could get, you know, all of these bathroom products, you know, toilet paper, paper towels, paper products for really cheap and get them tomorrow. I mean, that, I'm only human.
Nah, I understand. And actually, there are a lot of third-party sellers on Amazon that use their distribution services, but the money goes to those businesses. So if you look for the right company, you can buy something off Amazon, take advantage of the Prime deal without supporting Bezos too much. So
maybe I'll have to look into that. Yeah, yes. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to really try to stand strong and say no.
88% of the audience says no. They will not be shopping on Amazon today.
That's what they say.
Yes.
We'll see what happens later on. All right, so we do need a hero. It is not going to be Dr. Fauci. His fall from grace has been happening rather slowly. I think the reason why his is more painful than, let's say, Andrew Cuomo or Michael Avenatti is because it's hard to pin this guy down. You know, he's been on every side of the issue. He's an expert. He's not someone we elected. And it's hard to figure out what the goal is, what his goal is, and what he's been up to. But there's no question that there's more scrutiny now. And actually, there's a story in the National Review where one writer thinks he's a sociopath. And I don't think that that's a crazy idea. Because when you think about how little shame this guy had, every time he was wrong, he never cared. He never was embarrassed. He never took a minute and stepped back and said, maybe I'm, you know, off on this. He really always looked out for himself first. And now it seems that this slow, painful, drawn-out fall from grace is happening. Part of the reason I know it's happening is because he's appearing on podcasts. You know, the mainstream media interviews must be drying up, so he's slumming it in the podcast world. And he wanted this Sway podcast host, Kara Swisher, to know that he didn't mislead on masks. Let's play cut one, Jared.
The people who are giving the ad hominems are saying, ah, Fauci misled us. First he said no mask, then he said mask. Well, let me give you a flash. That's the way science works. You work with the data you have at the time. It is essential as a scientist that you evolve your opinion and your recommendations based on the data as it evolves. That is the nature of science. It is a self-correcting process. And that's the reason why I say people who then criticize me about that are actually criticizing science. It was not a change because I felt like flip-flopping. It was a change because the evidence changed. The data changed.
That's an amazing cut for several reasons. Saying it's an attack, he doubles down on that an attack on him is an attack on science. I actually wrote down what an attack, and it's not an attack, but what a criticism of Dr. Fauci really is. I wrote a list because it's not a criticism of him personally. It's a criticism of everything he stood for the last year, and we will get into that. We actually have Scott Hounsell coming up at 1:05, and he's going to give us an update on Dr. Fauci and what's happening with that, with the email dumps, with the investigations into the Wuhan lab. But I have to say this. I want to use the Democrat tactic because, you know, sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. After listening to that cut where Dr. Fauci, he's not as jolly as he used to be. You know, he used to be so happy to be on these media hits and, you know, I'm staying home for Thanksgiving. He was a jolly guy when everything was going his way. So I would like to use the Brett Kavanaugh logic and say, I don't know if he has the temperament for this. He seems to be getting very angry and very defensive. And if you didn't do anything wrong, then why are you so defensive? Isn't that always the tactic we took with Brett Kavanaugh, with Donald Trump? You know, with anyone who said, don't smear my name or, you know, don't compare me to Hitler or don't say this or that. It was always, why are you getting so angry? So that's my question for Fauci. Why so serious? 844-500-4242. We're talking Ron DeSantis in the next segment and more of these heroes from the left that just aren't panning out. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It's only 12:30, and we've already covered Sheldon Whitehouse, Dr. Fauci. Now I'm about to move on to Ron DeSantis, which is really the biggest fake news that came out of the weekend. If you noticed, hashtag Death DeSantis was trending. I didn't even bother clicking on it, because that's where I'm at now with Twitter. If Jack Dorsey decides to get something trending, I have a feeling it's not going to end up being true, that there'll be an update or a correction or a tweet to correct the record that gets 2 retweets versus 2 million. So I usually steer clear of that. But then when I actually saw the full story, I did think, wow, how bad journalists are today is, it's impressive.
That's terrible pun hashtag. Death Santis is obviously the way to go, not Death DeSantis.
That might have been
Come
it.
On.
Honestly, Jared, that might have been it. It might have been Death Santis. I just glanced it over and thought, ugh, what are they attacking him for today? It turns out it was even more absurd than I thought. But first, let's go to the calls. George, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Grace, so you know the clip you played about Fauci, how the, you know, mask, the flip-flopping was about the science and the data changing. So he didn't flip-flop, but, you know, it's funny, the opinion of masks didn't change. So the data may, but it's all masks all the time. And, you know, the opinion on Trump during the whole, that didn't change. And, you know, why don't we just go to global warming? You think the science will ever change and the data on global warming, or you think it'll stay sort of in the same direction?
Yeah, and George, this is another point that you just made me think of. It's all well and good for it to change. Like Dr. Fauci's decisions, his flip-flops, would shut down businesses, you know, people's weddings got canceled, people couldn't have funerals or wakes. And that's all fine, according to Dr. Fauci, you know? It's just, that's the business of science. But if you decided, because you're not Dr. Fauci, but really in a lot of ways, Dr. Fauci's qualifications for telling us all what to do are just about as good as mine. I mean, he's not elected. But if other people, if Dr. Scott Atlas, let's say, if he said this is ridiculous, then it mattered. Then it was his fault. Then he was a conspiracy theorist. He was a nut. He was spreading disinformation. He was deplatformed. He was censored. He should have his license revoked if he decided to follow the science that he was seeing. But when Dr. Fauci goes back and forth and gets criticized for it, whoa, 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 whoa. Now we're attacking the science. Do you notice that double standard, George?
Yes, it's his own science. So I always say you're entitled to own your own opinion, but not your own set of facts. Well, his science and data seems to be his own interpretation of his own opinion, which is dangerous because then no one else matters. And like you said, everyone else gets censured on social media, et cetera, because it's not his science.
Right. Dr. Fauci's science, trademarked. Yeah, you're absolutely right, George. And it's a great point. Actually, we should play this because George got us on to Dr. Fauci yet again. Let's play the cut too. This is from the Sway, the New York Times Sway podcast with Kara Swisher, because Dr. Fauci apparently didn't get any weekend invites with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. So he had to scrape the bottom of the barrel and say to his media booker, hey, you know what? I'll do that podcast. Things are kind of drying up around here. Cut two.
The more extreme they get, the more obvious how political it is. Like Fauci is like Hitler. Fauci has blood on his hands. Are you kidding me? I mean, anybody who is just thinking about this in a dispassionate way has got to say, what the heck are those people talking about? Here's a guy whose entire life has been devoted to saving lives, and now you're telling me he's like Hitler? You know, come on, folks. Get real.
Aww. The good doctor doesn't like being told he has blood on his hands. He doesn't like criticism. He doesn't like being told he's a flip-flopper. I wonder, did he feel bad for Trump when everyone said that Trump was responsible for every single death? Did he feel bad for Ron DeSantis when reporters were putting body bags on the beaches in Florida to just show people how many humans were going to be killed by Ron DeSantis? How many human sacrifices there were going to be? Did Dr. Fauci care about that? Or do we only care about this heated, unfounded rhetoric when it's happening to St. Fauci? Save it, Tony. Save it. Oh, I can't believe that finally people are being a little bit critical of you after you ruined the country for almost a year and a half. Oh my gosh, the world's smallest violin is playing. All right, so now let's move on to Ron DeSantis, because this is the theme of my first hour, which is, wow, they not only can the media not pick any winners, you look at Michael Avenatti, you look at Andrew Cuomo, you look at Eric Swalwell, it's just loser after loser after loser. Sorry, that was kind of harsh. Maybe I should say it's just disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But also, all the people that they want to convince you are evil, you know, and have blood on their hands and are ruining the country and are diabolical and are racist, they all end up disappointing them too because they never fit the bill correctly. Which brings us to what happened over the weekend. I mentioned the Death Santis or Death Ron DeSantis. I don't know what it was, but something was trending about how bad Ron DeSantis is. And so it happened because a really sad, genuinely sad situation happened on Saturday. Reports emerged about a truck ramming into three participants of the Pride Parade in Wilton Manors, Florida, just outside of Fort Lauderdale. Sadly, one individual was killed in the incident while others were left seriously injured. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz reportedly narrowly missed being hit while riding a convertible in the lineup. Now, that's what happened. But that story didn't fit the press's narrative. And they thought to themselves, because they're evil and they're the enemy of the people, they thought, how can we politicize this in a way that is going to help us ruin Ron DeSantis, who seems to be doing a decent job in Florida and seems to be well-liked and could potentially be president come 2024? So they looked at this horrible accident and thought, what can we make of this? How can we milk this for something it's not? And what they came up with was something absurd. Mayor Dean J. Trantalis said that he thought that this was a deliberate attack because it was a gay pride parade. And a lot of news reports ran with that. So Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantalis initially labeled the incident a terrorist attack on the LGBT community, as well as an attack on Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. This is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community. This is exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. The guy has no idea what it is, and he's already saying this is exactly what it is. Hardly an accident. It was deliberate. It was premeditated, and it was targeted against a specific person. Luckily, they missed that person, but unfortunately, they hit two other people. So Fox News puts out the article after it is revealed that, no, it actually was an accident. This was not premeditated. This was not an attack on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. This was an accident. And that's what happens when you let law enforcement investigate something and you don't run to your Twitter account or to wherever he posted his statement within seconds of something horrible happening. But people like running with that narrative because, you know, these mainstream media blue check journalists, they're desperate to pin down DeSantis. So you have someone like Soraya Shamali, who is a blue check. I looked at her description on who she is, and it's just that there was no actual outlet, but she's, you know, a serious person, as Jonathan Curl might say. This was her first tweet, which got over 1,400 retweets. Two hit by truck that was aiming for Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz's car and person is dead. This is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community. Deliberate. It was premeditated and it was targeted against a specific person, says authorities. She later retweets sharing this ongoing update. You know what that means. I reported fake news. Sharing this ongoing update as city commissioner Chris Caputo, in contradiction, thinks it maybe more likely have been an accident. But that doesn't stop them. You know, they run with it. And the mayor had to put out another statement where he had to thank first responders, which I'm sure, you know, he had to thank the police. I'm sure that bothered him right there. That was probably painful. But he doesn't even say, you know, I was wrong. This is the part of it that drives me the most crazy. He doesn't say, you know, I was wrong. Here's a mea culpa. Next time I'm going to wait a little bit more. He says, I was an eyewitness to the horrifying events. It terrorized me and all around me. I reported what I saw to law enforcement and had strong concerns about what transpired. Concerns for the safety of my community. I feared it could be intentional on what I saw from mere feet away. Law enforcement took what appeared obvious to me and others nearby and investigated further, as is their job. As the facts continued to be pieced together, a picture is emerging of an accident in which a truck careened out of control. In other words, fake news. In other words, very, very fake news. I lied. I had the wrong story.
That's funny, because his tweet didn't say he had concerns that this might be an attack. It said unequivocally.
Yeah.
That it was an attack with no wiggle room.
That's what happened. That's what happened. And so on Twitter, people started to make it into a Ron DeSantis problem because he's the governor of Florida and it happened in Florida. Now, that gets me thinking. I do like talking about Ron DeSantis because I feel as though there's some sort of, it's ironic that he is the opposite. He's like the opposite of Andrew Cuomo, and Andrew Cuomo is everything the left wanted DeSantis to be. You know, he was hiding, he was fudging the numbers, sexually harassing people, allegedly. There was all sorts of workplace harassment, allegedly. And he's just a bully. He's a bully and a jerk. And that's exactly what they always wanted Ron DeSantis to be. Now, listen to this woman. Now, her name is Nikki Fried. And she's on CNN and she's running against Ron DeSantis. And to Poppy Harlow's credit, she asked her some good questions. I don't know what's happening in CNN. I don't know if they're so desperate that Jeff Zucker said, we got to start asking something to get eyeballs on the screen. But listen to this back and forth. Let's start with cut 13.
The data backs it up. I mean, Florida has a 4.8% unemployment rate, well below the national average. The per capita death rate from COVID-19 is 27th, nowhere near the highest. Do you think he deserves credit?
You know the answer to that, Poppy. No. No, of course he doesn't deserve credit. Let's play cut 14.
Florida has a 4.8% unemployment rate, well below the national average. The per capita death rate from COVID-19 is 27th, nowhere near the highest. Do you think he deserves credit for that?
No, I don't think he deserves credit. He had a very laissez-faire, hands-off approach to COVID.
Now, she continues, she goes on her whole spiel about the media and Ron DeSantis, and it's not painting a true picture. It doesn't address any of the issues. And Poppy Harlow asks her again at the end, but everything you wanted us to, Florida to do, has ended up being wrong. You know, if Governor Ron DeSantis had gone with the Dr. Fauci rules and regulations, which was way easier, that was the far less courageous thing to do. You could just say, he's the expert. I got to trust Dr. Fauci. But he didn't do that. He took a risk and it paid off in Florida. This woman, Nikki Fried, she would have done everything Dr. Fauci wanted to do. So listen to this last part, cut 17.
I hear your points on the messaging. I'm just asking you, Commissioner, since you're running to be governor of Florida, about the hard data while Ron DeSantis was and remains governor, and you can't argue that the unemployment rate in Florida right now is half what it is in New York and California, and it is 27th on the list when you look at COVID deaths. My question is, all your criticism of him saying he didn't shut down soon enough, calling for mask mandates statewide, looking at the data, did he have it right and did you have it wrong?
Now, this is her answer, and this is my favorite part of the interview. This is Nikki Fried, cut 18.
You know, I think my greatest weakness is the fact that right now, Ron is on a platform on the national stage. And so he's getting a lot of national PR, but we are going to take that and turn it into a positive, because the people of our state want somebody who's going to serve 4 years in their term. And Ron DeSantis isn't going to promise that to the people of our state. And so they are needing to understand that Ron is already stepping on our backs to get to the presidency in 2024. And so while he's getting all this national media, national attention about taking the Trump platform to Washington, D.C., the people of our state deserve better than somebody who is already looking to run for president and not serve the full four years here as governor of our state from 2022 on.
All right. Well, you just had about 7 or 8 minutes on a national platform on CNN. So come back and we'll dig more into the key issues.
I never thought I'd say this, but Boom, you just got roasted by Poppy Harlow. That was actually a great response. And I just want to say, that woman, Nikki, she used her 7 and 8 minutes on national television to basically run an ad for Ron DeSantis. If you weren't voting for him, you saw that and you go, oh, sweet Lord, I need to get out and vote for Ron DeSantis. All right, we'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. It is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Quick update. We're back on the road this Friday at Aviva Trattoria in Wrentham. So if you've been waiting to see us and you're in that area, definitely stop by or make a road trip there. It's going to be really fun. The shows will be from 12 to 6, and every Aviva customer gets a free copy of one of Howie's books. It's going to be a great time. Reservations are strongly recommended, so get on that now, and then you can relax until Friday and know that you have your spot saved. We always talk about, you know, imagine if Donald Trump did this, but I want to circle back here to the Sheldon White House of it all, because can you imagine if Senator Ted Cruz belonged to an all-white beach club, or if Senator Tom Cotton was involved in an all-white beach club? And speaking of that, can we get Glenn Kessler? You know, he did a real comprehensive fact check into Senator Tim Scott's ancestry. It turns out that Senator Tim Scott's grandfather did drop out of school to pick cotton, but according to Glenn Kessler, it wasn't, you know, hard enough on him because his family owned the farm in which he picked cotton on. I want a comprehensive look at the Bailey's Beach Club in Rhode Island, Glenn. That's your mission for the day. Russ, really quickly, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Grace, really, I want to put this into perspective with Fauci. You know, he's nothing but a panic peddler, and the panic peddlers will always engage in puffing. Now, according to the law firm, over 400 people in the U.S. die each year from mistakes made by the medical field. Now, over the course of 16 months, the difference was about 74,000 people. Now, will he ever disclose that and create panic before people seek medical attention? And really, it is aggravating, and I just wish people would have no blind trust in any institution.
Yeah, no, I think that's good advice, Russ. We'll be talking about Dr. Fauci with Scott Hounsell from Red State at 105. So don't go anywhere. I have a lot of questions about Dr. Fauci now that he's playing the pity card. We'll be right back. It's Monday. Kick off the week right with the Grace Curley Show.